It's called the Great Replacement Theory. It makes the claim that pretty much the Jews are behind a move to open borders for and encourage procreation by black and brown people in order to make whites the minority race in America. Theory usually is designed to arrive at a finding. What we found is that the Great Replacement Theory provokes things like racism and death. With us now to explore the foundation of this catalyst for what we've seen happen in Buffalo, many other places, and who's fanning its toxic fire is the National Affairs Correspondent for The Nation, as well as the host of their new podcast, The Time of Monsters. Jeet here. How are you today, sir?
I'm good. It's good to be here.
Thank you as well for being here. TheNation.com. You can read Jeet's work and get into the podcast. Really, all the journalists that do their that apply their craft for The Nation at TheNation.com. Odd thing, Jeet, I mentioned that was a pretty fair, accurate, although condensed idea of what the Great Replacement Theory was, right? The one I gave in the intro?
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. And I'm glad you, framed it as the kind of conspiracy theory, anti-Semitic conspiracy theory, because that's crucial. Because I think right now we're seeing an attempt by the right, by people to obfuscate and to cloud over what happened. And one way that they're doing it is that they're conflating, this idea that Jews are trying to destroy white America by bringing in non-white immigrants with, the idea that there's demographic change happening in America and that will have political consequences. And the second is a kind of banal observation, and because, demographic changes have always happened, right? It's never static who the people in a country are. You always have people leaving and people coming.
Sure.
And that has political consequences. Well, what makes the Great Replacement Theory what it is the element of the sort of conspiracy, that this is not a large process with many factors, but that there's actually a sinister process with a genocidal intent. It's the idea of white genocide. And that, I think, is I think it's crucial to understand that's what makes the Great Replacement Theory what it is, the anti-Semitic conspiratorial element.
And when you add reality to it, you could, if you can get into the minds of these believers of the theory, maybe bring them to more common sense, because first and foremost, demographic change doesn't happen within the span of 2 years from one election to another. So, we can wipe that off the realm of immediate possibility. But if you look at the history of the Great Replacement Theory, the origins is actually a 1973 novel written by French author, I'll probably foul this up, Jean Raspail, called The Camp of the Saints, which the plot of this novel, meaning fiction, is exactly what people believe the Great Replacement Theory to be. So we basically have someone in Buffalo who just shot and killed 10 people because of a French novel.
Yeah, no, that's right. That's right. Yeah. I mean, I think the Raspail novel is important. I think there's many other works. But I think it's also the case that this is a kind of long-standing, part of the racist right. I mean, this is I think people forget that the sort of second wave of the Ku Klux Klan in the 1920s was very focused on immigration, and they had many of these kind of same ideas. I think a crucial part of all this is the idea of it's a zero-sum society, that because if you think about it logically, what does it mean to replace people? It's if somebody, moves in from Argentina to the United States or from India to America, that doesn't it's not like some white American has been kicked out of the country, right? That's not the way, it's not a game of musical chairs. But this kind of paranoid racism is based on the idea that there's only a finite amount of resources and space, and then that one has to, that anything that benefits someone who's not of my group hurts my group.
And you wrote recently about an aspect of this, too, where people with titles in front of their names, like senator or representative, most viewed cable host, they're promoting the replacement theory. And for people whose minds aren't exactly in the realm of reality as much as we hope everyone's mind would be, this becomes a big magnet and a catalyst and a makes them more proactive in supporting the theory.
This is actually the kind of a real problem. I mean, obviously, racism and extremism is a problem, but, like, if we're just dealing with, a handful of, racists who can do real violence, that's tragic. But that's not the margin of society. I mean, what's disturbing is that a lot of this stuff is being used in a very cynical way by the respectable Republican politicians and by Fox News hosts like Tucker Carlson, as a way of stirring up their people, as a way of, basically it's a way of motivating their base, because it's like people will go out and vote if they're afraid. So if you're afraid that something is being taken away from you, your country is being taken away from you, people will go out and vote. And what's striking is that, the degree to which what one hears from these Republicans and from people like Tucker Carlson is pretty much a more genteel version of this. But they'll often say, Soros is promoting this. Soros is promoting the immigrant caravan, and Carlson uses the word replace. And so basically they're giving their sanction to the most conspiratorial possible view. I don't know how much good it does to actually, fact check these things, because the people who believe, it's a myth, right? And people who believe in a myth aren't necessarily going to be open to evidence. But, I mean, I think for the rest of us, it's just worth noting that, the factors that cause immigration are really complex. And then the people who want immigration are complex. For many years, the big business and the Wall Street Journal, were among the major advocates of more immigration. And it's a very complicated, debate, but they want to, people like Tucker Carlson want to reduce it to this level. And the other element of replacement is, once an immigrant becomes a citizen, their vote is open for grab. And, one sees it in the United States where, in the last election, there were some an upturn in the number of Latinos voting for the Republican Party. So, to believe in the Great Replacement Theory, you almost have to believe that there's, a distinction between a vote from what Tucker Carlson calls a legacy American and an immigrant. But, in the ideal of citizenship, everybody's votes count, and everybody's vote is up for grabs.
Darwin Wajid here, who is the national affairs correspondent for The Nation, also the host of the new podcast, The Time of Monsters. TheNation.com is their website, listening to issues and ideas. Is it really just a symbol? I mean, neither one of us are psychologists, but I think we're both observers of people. Are the believers just the people who see their lives not being what they hoped for, and they're not going to blame themselves for their own failure, so they need to find something or someone else? That's where that whole Fox News, they are coming to get you attitude plays to that type of person.
Yeah, no, I think there's a lot of scapegoating going on, that's obvious. But and also, I mean, I have to say, I think if one wants to have a broader critique, I think that there is real economic difficulties that people have faced, over the last decade, but really over the last, since the 70s, where, I think for working class Americans, white, black, Latino, it's harder and harder to make ends meet. Things like housing are getting much more expensive. Union density has declined. And I think in that environment, sort of divide and conquer politics, lets the powers that be escape, the consequences, and it helps keep everybody divided and keeps so I really think that's the most it's a little bit cynical, but I think that is the motivation for why wealthy guys like Peter Thiel and Tucker Carlson really love this stuff.
You heard about this in The Nation recently, at least defining crocodile tears over the Buffalo Massacre. Do the Stefanics just see voters? Do the Tuckers just see viewers? They don't see the full picture of what they're cultivating here.
I think that they do see the full picture, but they're willing to do with it because they want power, right? Like they want money. I mean, like I don't think that these are foolish people, and I think that they know what it is that they're generating. I mean, if one wants to be generous, maybe their thinking is like, well, you know, we have to be the ones. There's a lot of racism out there, and if we're the ones that offer it up, we can control it and keep it within limits and not let it get out of control. That if it's not us, it'll be Alex Jones or somebody else, David Duke, who will, you know, come to the fore. I don't know. I mean, like, I don't know their psychology or their person, if that's the rationale they give themselves. But, I mean, they know what they're doing. I mean, this is, it's not something you can fall into accidentally, right? Like,
now that's and when they're challenged on it too. What was it on Tuesday night after everything happened and all this time Tucker was strongly embracing great replacement theory. He's doing a monologue, and not that I watch every night, but I watch the key spots just to see how he's reacting when he gets called out. And he said, "Well, we're not even sure what this great replacement theory is all about. You've been talking about it for the last half a year, basically."
That's right. Yeah. You know, I mean, he's very cynical in that way. And I think the way you can kind of see the cynicism is the way that he kind of uses coded language, or he like tiptoe near the edge of the most racist view, but then kind of, you know, like doesn't cross that line. So I mean, that, to me, that indicates like, you know, foreknowledge. Like you're aware of what the racist undercurrent is, when you're also aware of what you can get away with in getting close enough to that without like someone having a gotcha.
He writes more about this too. A recent article: Elise Stefanik's crocodile tears over the Buffalo massacre. You have to think about today's GOP: Liz Cheney bad, Elise Stefanik good, at least for the number three position. That should give you something to think about as we go through the primary election season. And you can read Jeet's work and the other journalists with The Nation at TheNation.com. He's also the host of their new podcast, The Time of Monsters, as well as The Nation's national affairs correspondent. Jeet, thanks so much for being here today.
Okay, great. It was great talking.